Good morning. I welcome you to our service of worship this morning, and I welcome each of you in the name of the risen Christ. If you are visiting with us today, we especially welcome you and encourage you to fill out a visitor's card in the pew in front of you and put it in the offering plate so that we may be in touch with you. Today is a special Sunday in the life of our congregation. It is our Stewardship Commitment Sunday, in which we commit our gifts and who we are to God. And in a way to say thank you for this commitment, we are hosting a lunch this afternoon, immediately following the service, that each of you are invited to in our fellowship hall. Before we begin the service of worship, just want to call your attention to a few brief announcements. One is that after the luncheon, there will be a brief meeting for the Three Kings Dinner. So those who are involved in the planning of the Three Kings Dinner, I ask that you would meet immediately following the luncheon. You can follow along in our bulletin to see all of the events that are coming up this week, and I would invite Vicki Carter to share with us another announcement.
Good morning. This is such a busy time of year. Back to school is finished. The children are nestled all snug in their classrooms and after school activities. In just a few days, Halloween 2011 with its costumes and too much candy will be history. Then we can focus on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, tucked in between the period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is a season we Christians know as Advent. It's a season of waiting, anticipation for Christmas Day, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who came into this world promising us peace, joy, hope, and love. Women also spend a goodly portion of this time in anticipation and waiting for the cookies to come out of the oven, for the gifts to be purchased and wrapped, for menus to be planned, travel arrangements to be made, and trees to be trimmed. How can our minds stay focused on the true meaning of the Advent season with so much busyness surrounding us? On Wednesday, November 30th at 7:30 p.m. in Fellowship Hall, Morrow will hold its first Advent by Candlelight for women. Brenda has created a beautiful and meaningful program with poetry, scripture, and music, all designed to help us journey through the Advent season, remembering what it's all about. Space is limited for this event, so make your reservation now. There's an announcement in today's bulletin, as well as information on the website and in the newsletter. On the evening of November 30th, Fellowship Hall will be filled with a wonderful group of women surrounded by the glow of candlelight. You don't want to miss it. And by the way, it's only for women. Thank you.
Good morning. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Good is God all the time, and all the time, God is good. God has created all things and continues to work among us for good. Praise be to God, who loves us and makes all things new. Please be seated. May you join me in the morning prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us and placing us in beloved community. Even when we struggle in our lives, you are working for good. Help us to trust in something greater than what we can see and to strive for something beyond what we already know. Help us to let go of the things that hold us back from loving you and loving others. Forgive us when our desire for comfort, ambition, and power take over our efforts for peace, compassion, and humility. Use us, God, as instruments and agents of your grace and peace. Amen.
Each Sunday in the month of October, we have been sharing with you stewardship moments that lift up different areas of ministry, things that are happening in this church. And if any time in the past few weeks you have said to yourself, wow, I didn't know that that was happening at Morrow Church, then good, we achieved our goal. The point of our stewardship moments is simply that there is much more ministry that happens than any of us can be involved in. And there are many areas of ministry that have yet to be lived into. And we have looked at our music ministry programs. We have looked at our children, youth, and education. We have looked at our mission and outreach ministry. And today I'm going to invite Leanne Lees to share with us just a bit about our ministry support. That is our staff, our building, and all of the things that go into supporting the vital ministry in this place. So, Leanne, come forward.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Leanne Lees, and I'm a member of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, which most of you probably know as the SPR Committee. As Chris said, over the past month, our stewardship moments have focused on the many classes, events, and outreach activities within our music, education, and mission programs. Chris has asked me to conclude our stewardship moments this morning by highlighting the many ways we offer ministry support here at Morrow. All of us here at Morrow provide ministry support and participate in a wide variety of ministries. We open the doors of Morrow to outside groups who meet here for free. The Boy Scouts and Narcotics Anonymous are two such examples of those groups that benefit from our facility. We also open our doors to the Interfaith Hospitality Network. We'll soon be serving as hosts again in the weeks leading up to Christmas, and I know that many of you will be providing food and fellowship to share with our guests. Morrow serves as host to other community-wide events as well, including the Holocaust service and several community-wide youth services throughout the year. Our church is frequently a place of joy with weddings and baptisms of our Morrow family to celebrate. It's also the place where we come together to celebrate the end of life. Maintaining this magnificent structure and keeping it clean, safe, and inviting is one of the ways we collectively support the Morrow Church ministries. And of course, we can't talk about ministry without emphasizing our wonderful Morrow staff. Clearly, the ministries of our church could not happen without the leadership and support of Pastor Chris and Pastor Brenda and all of our phenomenal staff members. Morrow supports our staff in many ways: salaries, continuing education program, and housing for our pastors are just a few of the ways we provide support to them. So as you prepare to finalize your financial commitment to Morrow Church for the coming year, I ask you to please keep in mind that almost 70 cents of every dollar that we give is dedicated to providing for our staff and maintaining our church buildings. Each of us helped to make all of these ministries happen through our tithes and gifts. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children now to join me down here for children's time. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good? Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Are we great? That's what I wanted to hear. All right. I know that today's a special day for all of us who've been going downstairs during worship for KWAM, Kids with a Mission, and all the service work that we've been doing. Today's special because we've been talking all month about how we care for who?
Animals.
Say it a little bit loud.
Animals.
Animals, exactly. And Richie, you've got something in your hand. Come on up here. Tell me what you've got. Because you, come on up here.
Cat food.
Who's that for?
We're giving the dogs and cats food for animal shelter.
Exactly. Today is the day that we bring all the food that Richie's got and all of you have brought in and toys and whatever we've donated to the Jersey Animal Coalition. We're going to go over there at 3 o'clock. So parents, remember, we'll meet at 3 o'clock over there. If you forgot to bring your stuff, you can bring it with you then. And we'll present all the things that we've been collecting. And today, we actually have a very special project downstairs. Say that one more time.
We're doing it when it's time.
When it's time to go, exactly. Oh, you'll have a clock, so you'll know when it's 3. Exactly. Today, when we go downstairs, we're going to do the last special project. We're going to get ready for a bake sale, right? So everybody get ready, because we're going to have yummy cookies and special treats for sale, so we can also bring some money to donate, right? Dog and cat cookies? Dogs, cupcakes, and cats, cookies. Are we ready for that? All right, I am so ready for that. But let me ask you a question. When we're getting ready to give our animal friends some things and take care of them, what's this I have? This is something somebody brought in to donate. Can you read that for me? What is it?
Cat treat.
Cat chow, exactly. Now, let me ask a question. Would this be good for our fish friends?
No.
No, it would not. This is for who?
Cats.
It's for cats, exactly. And someone brought this in. Would this fit on my hamster?
No.
This would be very silly on a hamster, wouldn't it? This, it would have to be a much smaller one. This is for?
Dogs.
Dogs, exactly. Now, would I want my dog to live in this? No. Fish or crickets or frogs, exactly. But not for dogs or cats, right? For animals that live in the ocean, exactly. Probably too bit small for a shark. Let me ask a question. When we are asked to give things to our friends to take care of them, what's one thing we have to make sure we remember? What? That we're giving them something that they really can use, right? Fish could use this, but my dog or cat friends couldn't use it, right? They'd be too big and they'd be really wet. Exactly. Jesus was asked a really challenging question. Sometimes people tried to trick him and asked him a question about money and asking whether money should be for you got some money. Exactly. Whether money should belong to God or to people or to governments. What do you think Jesus said? Any ideas? He said the government, you think so? Why do you think he said that? What do you think he said?
He said give what belongs to who? Give what belongs to the people and give what belongs to the other things that live.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Jonathan. We are supposed to care and love for dogs and cats and everybody, right? And it's our job to do it the best way we can. So fish get aquariums, and dogs get, where's our collars? Collars, and cats get, but it's all God's love that we're sharing, isn't it? It's our way of sharing God's love, and it's our job to do it the best way we can. So are you guys ready to go downstairs and get ready to make some money to give to dogs and cats? All right. Can we say amen to that? All right. Don't forget, hey, friends, we have to pass the peace of God's love and Jesus Christ to each other. All right.
When we come together as a community of faith, we are a people of prayer. We lift to God our joys and the things for which we give thanks, and we also lift up to one another and to God our concerns. In our bulletin insert, there's our ongoing prayer list, and I ask you to keep each of these people personally in your prayers as well as lift them up today. And I would like to ask, are there others that we want to pray for this morning in this place? Share with us your joys and your concerns. Betsy? Is Marty?
Arthur.
I'm sorry, Arthur. We're praying for Arthur. Thank you. Bill? Pray for Bill's coworker who passed away, for her family, Marilyn. Thank you. Yes.
My
for Ruth, who is diagnosed with thyroid cancer. We will certainly pray for her. Yes, Carrie. Your mother, Betty, and we lift you up in prayer today for speedy recovery. Yes. Would you repeat her first name? Isole. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Sue? Okay, Mary. Leslie and Aaron, who are expecting a child after the death of their 2-year-old last year. Thank you. Anthony? We pray for you, Anthony, and for peace. And his first name?
Ivan.
Okay. We're praying for Anthony and for Ivan, who was diagnosed with cancer. Are there others? Let us go before our God with prayerful hearts. Gracious and loving God, we know that before we come to you, you have heard the prayers that are on our hearts, our concerns. So often we fail to have the right words. God, we want to lift things before you, but we don't know what to say or even what we have the right to ask for. God, today we simply lay the names of these many people and families before you and ask that your will be done. We ask that you will be a God of comfort, a God of healing, a God of peace, a God of redemption. God, we lift before you Ruth, Arthur, Ivan, Isole, the family of Marilyn, Carrie, Kim, Betty. God, we ask that you will hold these and all of the individuals in which we have been lifting up week after week. God, we pray that you will do a transformative work in their lives. Surround them with love. Surround them with your care. God, we give you thanks that on the backdrop of difficulty and illness and pain, you constantly bring about new life into our lives and into this world. We give you thanks for Leslie and Aaron and the gift of a new child. We give you thanks for Anthony and pray for continued peace of mind. We give you thanks for the gift of this community and the vibrance of our children and new life among us. God, walk with us. Help us to become a strong witness in this community, provide hope where there is despair, to provide healing where there is hurting, and to provide company for those who have felt abandoned. God, we give you thanks today for coming together, for claiming the ministry of what you are doing in this place and to reach to be a part of it. God, bring us into something greater than ourselves this day, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name, who taught us also to pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, as it's Commitment Sunday, we will later have an opportunity to share our commitments for the coming year with the church. But at this time, I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward and to respond to God's goodness, and we will now receive the gifts of our tithes and offerings. Loving and gracious God, all good things come from you, and you are always working for good in our lives, even in difficult times and seasons. God, we give you thanks for the gift of this community and for the gifts that are brought forth in this community. Bless them, nurture them, and expand them so that hope may be brought to many more in this world. God, we pray. Amen.
Please remain standing if you're able for the gospel message, which comes from Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 to 20. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." and they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Please be seated. There is something going on in the world. There is something happening, and I just can't put my finger on what it is. There are riots and protests and wars, the overthrowing of dictators, stock market uncertainty. I feel like something, we are in the middle of some great change or shift. Something is moving that will forever alter our world, but I just don't know what it is. I wish I could put my finger on it. It reminds me of a college professor in a religion class who was teaching us about the 6th century BC, or BCE, before the Common Era. He was teaching about how in the span of about 50 to 75 years, some things all happened at one time that forever changed the world. It was in the 6th century BC that many religious and philosophical traditions that we know today were born and formed within just a span of years. Taoism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, and Greek philosophy were all developed. He taught us that something must have been happening in the world where religious thought was encouraged or was needed. Something gave birth to these traditions all at the same time. It was also at the same time that the Israel people were taken out of Israel. The temple was destroyed. Something was happening in the world. My professor said, "Boy, it must have been an exciting time to be alive in the 6th century BC. Oh, yeah? My question back to him was a quip. I said, "Do you think really that if things like that are happening, that individuals have any clue what they're a part of?" He looked at me and he kept teaching the class. But the question remains the same for me, is that does any individual, when we are a part of a movement greater than ourselves, do we ever really have an understanding or an idea of the big picture or what is happening around us? The question that I ask myself when there is change or when things need to happen in the world, am I an agent for change or am I a spectator? Am I a witness for justice that needs to happen? Do I step out and help things that need to happen happen, or am I a passerby? The question for us is, when God does things in this world, are we a part of it, or do we even realize what is happening? And I think the answer, we don't have to beat ourselves up about it, is simply no. Because when change happens, when shift happens in the world, it is greater than any individual. And as long as we are where we need to be, doing what we need to be, God is forming and God is shaping. In Matthew 22, we see Jesus caught in a very interesting encounter. During Jesus' time, it was also a very exciting and interesting time to be alive, particularly in the Middle East. Many things were happening, and especially Israel was about to come to an end again as a state, a formal state. That wouldn't come to pass until after Jesus' resurrection. But the Romans were occupying the people of Israel in different regions, and they were no longer in charge of their own lives, but they had to be accountable to the Roman government. And in our passage today, we see this scene that we've looked at for many, many weeks, in which Jesus had bruised the egos of and had challenged the authority of the religious theocracy, the religious rulers of the people of Israel. And because Jesus had bruised their egos and had challenged them, they were desperately trying to find a way to get him in trouble so he would no longer be a problem to them. They had challenged him on Jewish law. They had challenged him on teachings. But in every instance, he was able to come out with a clean slate. So in Matthew 22, we see a perfect plan. They are going to pit Jesus between the Jewish people and the Roman authorities. They go before him with the Herodians, who are legalites, who are both Jewish people but also in bed with the Roman government. And they go before Jesus and they say, "You are a wise teacher." They patronize him. They say, "We know that everything you say is holy. So is it valid? Is it of our law, is it right and righteous and holy to pay a tax to this non-Jew, to this person who tortures us and who burns our cities? Is it right to pay a tax to Caesar?" Boy, they had him. Because if Jesus said that yes, it was right to pay the taxes, then the people would surely revolt because they were against being taxed to death. But in the same way, if Jesus would say, "No, we don't have to pay the tax," all the leaders had to do would be to nod to the centurions who were standing by, and the Romans would take care of Jesus quickly. But Jesus, much wiser than any human, said this, "Well, let me see the coin with which you would pay this tax." And someone brought him a denarius, and as he looked at it, he said, "So who is this funny-looking guy on the coin anyway?" "Caesar." "So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's." Jesus' answer went much deeper and went far beyond what they were looking for, and alas, they weren't able to trap him. With this statement, Jesus separated himself from the nationalists who were causing rebellions in many other parts of the kingdom of Judea and other parts of the area. Jesus was not going to put himself out as a rebel leader, a rabble-rouser, if you will, which was going to stand up to Rome, but he also was saying something that they already knew. This Caesar guy, he's not the be-all, end-all. We can give money and taxes to government authorities that are over us, but ultimately what we owe is to God. So the question quickly is, what image indicates possession? What likeness or image was on the coin? We know that it was Caesar's. But I think Jesus was asking a deeper question. What image or likeness is on your life? And the people who were testing Jesus, they knew that well. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and when God created humans, God created them in God's likeness. Genesis 1, week 1 of rabbinical school. They knew it so well. And so when Jesus was saying, "Give to God's," he was saying something much deeper than a political statement or a power statement or anything about the Romans or the Jews. But he was talking about how they lived their lives, how they lived out their relationships in this world. So often this passage is used to justify political positions on the separation of church and state, particularly within the United States. And it's also has been used in Switzerland and other countries to show that Jesus respects government authority, but Jesus wants us to then have a private religious entity. And this is a valid viewpoint, but this is not my viewpoint. My viewpoint is that this passage is really about something much, much deeper. Jesus wasn't trying to make a statement about our politics or how we live with governmental authorities. Jesus was trying to remind us that everything belongs to God, even the things that we think we have control over. Even the municipalities and the taxes and the funds and the gifts and all that we think we control, It is God's. And again, Jesus was asking the people to dig a little deeper, go a little bit further, give to God what is God's. I'm not worried about, Jesus is saying, I'm not worried about whether or not you pay your taxes. I want to know how you live your relationships. Again, saying to the religious leaders a question they knew the answer to, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. He was simply turning the tables on them and asking them, are you doing justice? Are you treating the least of these in right ways? Are you loving mercy? Are you caring for the widow and for the orphan? And are you loving kindness? Are you treating each other with respect and gentleness? Jesus knew the answer. It's the same answer to most people who seek to trip other people up on political questions. We worry about the minutiae of details when the question is usually much greater and much important is not what does the letter of the law say, but how are you living your life? What are you doing to make a difference in the world? I want to tell you a story about this church. You may know that we are in the 200th year anniversary of this community and the 100th year anniversary of this particular building. I was touched to read a bit of history some months ago about the 1950s, the era right after World War II in this church. It was the beginning of the heyday of the Morrow Memorial Methodist Episcopal Church in Maplewood. Men and some women had returned from Europe and the Far East and around the world from being at war. The baby boom explosion had taken place, and people were seeking to rebuild their lives. They were seeking to be in community, to live close with one another, and this church began to explode with ministry. The pastor who was there at the time began a children's moment in which the aisles that are here before me began to flood with children. People began to fill the pews in the front, in the back, in the sides, and in the middle. The membership of this church began to take off. I loved reading the story of this history, not just because I wish that I had their attendance numbers. I love the story because it is a story about how people, when there are needs, when people have needs and we seek to meet them, community happens. When community comes together, it's greater than the pastor. It's greater than the Christian education director. It's greater than any individual Sunday school teacher, parent, or child. I love that story because it is our story. It is a story how this community, situated right here in Maplewood with surrounding communities, has been a place in which people have found their needs met. People who have needed community, people who have sought something greater in their lives than themselves, this was the place that they found it. It is not our history, but it is also our present and our future. Something greater than who we are is what Jesus calls us to seek when he says, give to God what is God's. We are God's. I am God's and you are God's. Each of us has been created in God's image, but alone we can only be islands and solo vessels. When we come together, we can be something far greater than who we are. I want to share with you a little bit about my vision and my dream for this church. There are a lot of good things that happen in this church, but I see a lot more good things happening in this church. I see in the coming years that we will begin to own the total ministry of this church, and that you and I will know what our children are doing on a Saturday when kids come in to cook meals and take it to Newark to a food kitchen. When children come together and bring gifts to send them to other people, we will begin to do a better job of telling our mission story. That I don't have to be a part of something, involved in something, but I know that it is an extension of who I am simply because I belong to this community. I see in the coming years our tying of our various mission efforts together, what our children do and what our adults do, not so that we are simply doing good in the world, but because we are making a long-lasting impact in the world that changes us and that changes other people. I see in the coming years our forming missional partnerships with other churches and other places around the world so that through our shared ministry, we can learn about other people and we can learn about ourselves at the same time. We can see how schools may be built. We can see how feeding programs may impact other people. And we can see how faith congregations come to life. This is some of what I see. I see in the coming years, people who are in this community with needs and hurts, seeing this church, this community as a beacon of hope, a safe place, a welcoming place. This morning, I can tell you with certainty that there are some deep needs out there. There are some deep needs in here. But there are people in this community who have deep needs because they are struggling financially. I know with certainty that out there are people who are struggling with addiction and recovery issues, and they just don't know how they are going to go on. I know that out there are people who are struggling because of illness and sickness. There are people who are struggling because they have lost loved ones. I see this community as a beacon of light and hope for all of those people. For those who go hungry, for those who need someone to walk with them, for those who need to know that God loves them and God is already at work in their lives. God is doing an amazing thing in this community. Amen? Amen. God will be doing and is going to be doing even a greater thing in this community. Amen?
Amen.
There is something happening not only in the world, but there is something happening right here. And I thank God that it is not on my shoulders to do it. I thank God that it is not on me to understand what it is, but I am grateful for you. I'm grateful for the needs of other people who, when we come together in community, we can fulfill those needs and we can reach out beyond ourselves. Today I wanted to share with you a few of these dreams because it's Commitment Sunday. And I have no interest in giving you financial figures of what to put on that card. This morning I don't want to talk to you about taxes or duty or role or responsibility. I simply want to lift up something much greater. And that is that you and I are a part of what God is doing in this community, and we have the ability to shape it, to invest ourselves fully in it. It doesn't always mean that we get an equal return on our investment ourselves, but it means that we are a part of something greater than who we are. That because we volunteer, because we give, there are children who have a place to go after school. Because we are a part of this community, there are people who are sick who do not have to go a very scary road by themselves. I'm grateful that God is doing something greater than any of us in this community today, and I want to invite you to commit to that. If you have grown up in a faith community, I just want to see your hands. Just real quick. If you, like me, were shaped by a church family, if you were nurtured, if you ever had a Sunday school teacher who said, good job, or who encouraged you, guess what? Who are you encouraging? Who are you nurturing? Who are you teaching? And if you didn't grow up in a faith community and you wondered and you struggled for many years before you found a place where you were welcomed, guess what? There are a lot of people like you who need to be welcomed, who need to be reached, who need to be sought out. Today on this Commitment Sunday, I want to welcome you and invite you to walk with me, to walk in the coming days and years in the life of this community so that God can continue to do something greater than what I can do and something greater than what you can do. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to do as they do in the African tradition. I'm going to invite you to dance. I'm going to invite you to dance your cards forward. And this goes for children, for youth, for adults. If you didn't get one of these cards, I very strategically placed them in the pews. There are a couple on the inside of each pew and on the pews in the side and even in the balcony. I want to invite you to commit to ministry and community in this place and beyond. And we're going to have some music. And as you dance or walk or shuffle your way forward, I would love to see everyone turn something in simply that says, I can commit to this in this way in the coming year, or I cannot commit at this time, so that we know how to make plans to support the ministries, the exciting things we're going to do in the coming year. And finally, I don't simply want you to come forward and give anything. I want you to take something, because ministry is always a give and a take. Ministry is always about sharing and receiving, offering and being changed. I want you to take a bulb. I don't know if any of you have bulbs at home, but I want you to take a bulb today as a representation of what ministry is like. It doesn't look a whole lot like a whole lot. It looks actually a whole lot like garlic, if you ask me. But we have bulbs of various types and shapes and sizes, just like we are. There are small bulbs and big, robust bulbs. I want you to come forward. If you do nothing else today, come forward and take a bulb. You're invited to plant it in your own homes. You're invited to plant it, I was told, anywhere on church property. We welcome flowers this year. So there are rows of bushes along the side. If you want to plant a bulb in this churchyard, you are welcome to do. But in a moment, as we share in the singing of a song from South Africa, we are marching in the light of God. I invite you to come forward to share a commitment and to receive the gift of new life that takes time, nurturing, and watering. Let us, with thankful hearts, with joyful hearts, come, give, and receive. Like a bulb that's planted in winter, hope is a light that shines when little darkness is found. This community serves as a beacon of light for those who have needs and emptiness. May God's grace and peace and love shine in us and through us and around us. Lunch is ready. Figuratively and literally, lunch is ready. We are called to be a meal for those who are in need. And today you are invited, if you've turned in a slip or if you haven't turned in a slip, you're invited to join us for lunch in the fellowship hall, and I'll offer this grace over our time together. God, bless the gifts of these people. Bless the gifts of food. And bless the gift of our gathering today so that we may be the body of Christ in this world. And God's people say together, Amen.